Well, good morning. For the third week, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 11. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, say good morning. This will make sense to you in a minute. For all of our listeners on the radio from foreign countries, we would not say good morning. That's a sarcastic comment, by the way. But anyway, we would say maybe bonjour or guten morgen or buongiorno, right? Good morning in different languages. Some of you know different languages. And the thing you're going to see today, one of the things I want you to see is the different languages around the world. We had this on the screen earlier. Jason had put that up. One of the things we want you to see today, all the languages of the world, all of the different people groups are the result of sin. We speak the language we speak, English, that is different from so many other people in the world as a result of sin. And we need to see that today, not just the way people are and they came up with different languages on their own. That is not it at all. Chapter 11, we're going to be in the Tower of Babel. There was some difficulty on my part. Chris told me I had 3 weeks choosing. What chapters do we do? We had to do creation. We had to do the fall. It was this third week that's the tough one. There's so many things in Genesis that could talk about, wanted to talk about, some things we looked at with the kids. You know, the flood is obviously a big one. We think of the flood as the paintings on the children's nursery and the animals. The flood's a terrifying event in the history of God's people. What a terrifying scene of the flood. There's so many interesting things come out of that story. I know when we looked at it with the teenagers, we were talking about, you know, we see the rainbow in the sky, but if you look in Scripture, God says, I will set my bow in the sky. And we translate that, of course, as rainbow. But it's an interesting thing because the word bow there literally means what we think of as a bow, a weapon. And the most interesting thing about that, as we talk with the kids, is the shape of the bow in the sky. Because if that bow is going to get fired after the flood, it's going to be fired heavenward at Jesus Christ. The wrath of God will be poured out on Christ on the cross, not pointing at us, because God said, I'm not going to destroy the earth this way again. So many things in Genesis that are worth looking at. But I thought today would be a great place for us to land. Again, I don't know if you know many different languages, but all of those go back to Genesis chapter 11. According to the Bible, this multiplicity of languages around the world, the division of people groups around the world, is God's response to one of mankind's most sinful displays. Happens early in recorded history on the plains of Shinar. Got that right. On the plains of Shinar, modern-day Iraq. And if you visit that country, you can go to the place. The Tower of Babel still stands today. Part of it is still there and can be visited. So maybe someday you'll head that way. On the surface, this story, sometimes we read this and it doesn't look like anything horrifically evil is going on, right? I mean, they just built a tower. But hopefully today, as we go through, it'll give you a glimpse into our own hearts. We've talked about this the last 3 weeks. I don't know how often you sit and wonder about where sin comes from in your heart, why it has so much power over you, why we just can't stop sinning, even though we want to. And this story will give us a glimpse into that. If you've ever felt like life was disappointing in some way, in any way, maybe within a family, within a relationship, job, school, whatever, I think, again, you'll find an explanation as to why in this story. Because what God was doing at the Tower of Babel, he continues to do today. So let's take a look at the first 9 verses in chapter 11, and then we will read these and then pray. That's what God's word says in Genesis 11. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city, and a tower without top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they begin to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth. and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. Let's pray. Father, we come today grateful for the opportunity together as your body, to worship you. God, I thank you for the way you have encountered us this morning already in small group, in song. And God, I pray that over the next bit of time that you teach us what we need to know individually, that God, you point things out in our heart. You show us, Father, the towers that we build, and God, we build them. We are guilty of the same thing. God, help us to see your grace and your mercy and your love in the midst of our sinful ways. We love you. We need you. God, we thank you for being here this morning. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So, if you read Genesis, if you know Genesis a little bit, one of the questions in your mind is probably, wait a minute. I just read in chapter 10 that there were people on the coastland that had different languages, and now you're telling me in Genesis chapter 11 that the people had the same language. How does this work? The writer of Genesis did not get things out of order. He didn't get confused. He just wrote the end of chapter 10. It's not like he forgot as he started chapter 11. It's part of the story. It's not chronological, okay? And so there's an explanation going on in 10 as to people being scattered, people being on the coast, different languages, and then he comes back in chapter 11 and he gives us the reason for that. So if you read that, I don't want you to think that Scripture is contradicting itself or that something strange is going on. That is it. In the first three chapters where we started, there are a couple things right out of the gate that we need to notice here. The first one is these people's attempt to stay put. Right? Staying together where they're at is an act of disobedience because God has commanded them several times in Genesis already to be fruitful and multiply over the entire earth for his glory. But they want to stay in one place. And so right out of the gate, here's a little throwaway lesson for you, a quick application at the beginning. God is always pushing his people to look outward, right? God's pushing us to look outward, to multiply. He pushes his people to send and to give. But we, as sinful man, look inward. We talked about this last week. One of the things we gave up in the Garden of Eden, when it says they hid themselves, we talked about what that meant is no longer were people looking at God, looking toward God. They were looking inward upon themselves. And that's what we do, right? Sinful man always looks inward toward building for his own security and for his own glory, even though God is calling us outward. The other thing we need to see right out of the gate is what these people want. There are three things in those verses, those first three verses we see they want. They want a city, they want a tower, and they want a great name, okay? And so this city, think of it this way, they want a home, right? They want a place to belong. We get that. We understand that. They want a tower. They want something in their life of significance, right? I want my life to have mattered, and so I'm going to build this. And the third thing they want is a great name. They want greatness for themselves. Ironically, God's already given them these three things. God's already given them a city and a tower and a great name. The city, God was our home. Fellowship with God in the garden. That's where we got our sense of belonging. We gave that up. We traded that in. A tower, Adam and Eve, the intention was to find significance in doing God's will. Again, we immediately gave that up. And a great name, the greatness we were supposed to find was in God. But Adam and Eve rejected God. We've rejected God. So like we talked about in the garden, they feel naked, right? They're looking inward. Everything that had meaning is gone, and they're looking inward. That's why it says their tower reached up toward the heavens. These people are trying to get something back that they already had. Things haven't changed much since the garden scene to chapter 11. Man is still, in chapter 11, deciding what is best for him. We today are the same way. Thousands of years later, 2019, we're in the business of deciding for ourselves what things are best. Heard Jason, the band leading, course of one song. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. That would be our joy to say. I don't know about you, I'm pretty good at saying, my will, my way. Right? I'm really good at saying that, and I find a lot of joy oftentimes in saying, no, I'm going to do it my will, or according to my will, in my way. And so things haven't changed a lot. We do this. I mean, be honest with you, I thought about this. Sometimes our attendance at church and in church functions is an example of us doing things in our will and our way. It's not so much God's will. It's not so much God's way. Sometimes it reflects itself in our giving. Sometimes it reflects itself in our service, in our willingness to go out and to evangelize a lost and dying world. We are guilty of the same thing these people are guilty of. And so here they're going to call this Tower of Babel, which literally meant the gate of God. And look, we call our towers different things today. But it's like I heard my brother Bud this morning when we were praying before Sunday school. He said, we're all building towers. We are. There's not one of us in this room that is not guilty of at times building a tower according to our strength, for our purposes, for our great name. We have to be really careful with that. And we need to today consider, what towers am I building? Bud is exactly right. And so the first point I want to make from those three verses is just that. Sin is always attempting to build a tower up to heaven. And look, I'll be the first to say what they want, belonging and security and greatness, those things aren't necessarily wrong in and of themselves. It's where they're trying to find them that's wrong, right? Today, thousands of years later, we're doing the same thing. We desire the same things. We want a city. We want a place to feel safe. We want a group of people to feel like we belong to. I mean, that's one of the reasons family is so important to us, is we are seeking that very thing. Or being accepted by the right group at school, or having right people praise you, whether it's a teacher, a peer, a coach, right? We all have this desire to belong to a city, to have this home. We want security. Something within us just desires. We want this guarantee for our safety. I looked this up again. I told the kids this. I think they thought I was kidding them. You know you can buy alien abduction insurance? It's available. In fact, we're going to London in 2 weeks. There's a company in London, I just looked it up again this morning, has sold 30,000 different policies on alien abduction. For a mere $118 a year, you can have that. And if you get abducted, your family gets $500,000. Right? If you get eaten, they get $3 million. The point is, as silly as that sounds, you can get ghost insurance, werewolf insurance, vampire insurance. And as silly as that sounds, yeah, we get it, right? We want security in something. Man, I don't want this to happen. If this happens, I want everything to be safe, everything to be secure. We have that in us. We're looking for security. We want our lives to matter. We do. I mean, that's why some of us get stressed out about the future. Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to do? Think of the midlife crisis guy. Right, we all have this stereotype in our head, midlife crisis guy, what that looks like. We want our lives to matter. Have I done anything that's making a difference in a world? And we want our name to be connected to greatness. Again, that's just part of who we are. That's why we name drop all the time. Look, that's why we use social media the way that we use it, to exalt ourselves and to look good. When's the last time you humbled yourself on social media? When's the last time on Snapchat you said, hey, I've been a whole month without opening God's word? We don't do that. When's the last time you said, just went to the doctor, I'm 30 pounds overweight, just wanted everybody to know? We don't do that, right? Our teenagers don't get on Instagram and say, hey, I bombed that test that the teacher gave me all the answers to for a week. We don't, right? We use it in a way that makes us look good, because there's just something within us that wants to be connected to greatness. And again, I'll say, security, significance, greatness, none of those things are wrong. It's just where we look for them that becomes a problem. And I think one of these days, if this hasn't happened to you already, one of these days you'll realize that every single tower that you've ever built in your life, in an attempt to regain something that has been lost, God has designed us in such a way to find that in Him. And I think if you haven't found that yet, you will, right? Whether it's love, safety, security, assurance, whatever it is, that's found in God. So point one is sin always attempts to build towers to heaven. Look at verse 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. There's a really big play on words going on here, right? This idea that they're building a tower to heaven and God says, let us go down. This is really condescending language, right? This is a slap in the face of people. This is God saying, really? I'm up here, I'm looking, I see everything, but I'm looking down for heaven. I can't see anything that you've built. Let us go down so we can see this mighty thing that you are attempting to do. This is really kind of a holy scorn of man's efforts to reach God. The other thing I want us to see here in this verse, let me look back. It's in verse 6. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. This idea of God referring to these people as children of man, it's the same wordage as the sons of Adam. And we can't miss that, right? Because the building of this tower is very similar to Adam's sin that took place in the garden. And Adam's sin has been passed along to these people. Adam's sin has been passed along to us. Some of us here today are still sons of Adam. Right? Some are here, some are children of the promise. Some are sons of Adam. We prayed this morning. Put it another way, I've heard Chris say this before. There are some in this room today who know God as a fatherly figure. They know God as a fatherly figure. He is God of the universe. He is fatherly, but they don't know him as their father, have not been adopted into the family of God because they are still sons of Adam. Verse 6, we just read, right? Basically what God is talking about here and saying is that every form of evil is going to spring from this declaration of these people's awesomeness. So God is not just going to confuse their language. He's going to divide them into different people groups around the planet, which leads to the second big thing I want us to see today, right? And we've talked about this already, but don't miss this. It's sin's root. The root of sin is this idea, by my will, in my strength, for my glory. Okay? By my will, in my strength, for my glory. Again, what they're looking for, security, significance, greatness, those aren't necessarily wrong. They're just supposed to get them from God. That's where they're supposed to find those things, from depending upon God. But they want to do it for themselves. And they want to do it in their own way, by their own strength, so that they get the glory. That's why they say, let us build a tower for ourselves, for the glory of our name. Right? Maybe we understand this by just considering the middle letter of the word sin, right? The letter I. That's it. I mean, what is it that I want instead of what God wants? What is it that I want to do in my own strength instead of God's strength? What do I do so that I get the glory instead of God getting the glory? I mean, listen, sin's wickedness does not start with the immorality of an act. When I sin, sin doesn't begin just when I commit the act. It begins in my heart before that, right? That's what's going on. It's the heart behind the act. And that's why God says here that what they are doing is going to become the source of immeasurable amounts of sin. It's what's happening in these people's hearts. The word Babel or Babylon, as it's translated everywhere else in Scripture or elsewhere in Scripture, this word becomes a symbol for opposition or mankind's opposition to God throughout the entire Bible. Don't miss that, right? Babel does not just mean confused language. It means so much more here. Babylon, as you guys know, Babylon is the capital city of Israel's fiercest enemy in the Old Testament. This is the kingdom that comes and destroys the temple in Jerusalem. In Revelation, Babylon is a symbol of man's united front against God. I think sometimes we think, man, it would be so much easier if everybody in the world spoke the same language. No, no, no. Can you imagine what that would be like? How bad? Think about the bad things we accomplish, and I can't even understand what you're saying. We could communicate and understand each other, right? We're talking like end time things, a one world government where everyone's together speaking the same thing, doing the same thing. How horrible it would be, right? That's what Babylon represents. Babylon is the complete, the full fruition of man's sin, right? But it begins here in chapter 11 with a heart that says, I will, instead of God's will. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. It starts so simply with I will instead of God's will. We use the word pride when we talk about it. Pride's at the root of all sin. You don't have to flip here. Just listen. This is in Isaiah. Your pomp and the music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. Isaiah's talking about Satan. Look, Satan's evil. His disobedience wasn't because of you know, he mistreated a bunch of puppies in heaven. Satan's sin, Satan's pride is what we're talking about with us. When Satan said, I will do this, and I will gain this, and I will have that. It's when Satan said, no, it's not your will, your way. It's my will, my way. And it starts, and we see the same thing happening in us. Violence and hatred and sexual immorality and oppression. I mean, those are the fruits of sin, right? The root of sin is I will. And we need to see that. That's what's going on. So, man, just stop for a minute. I've tried to do this each week just to get us to back up a little bit and think about our own hearts. What's going on in our own hearts? And for just a moment, don't sit and think of how moral you are or how religious you are. But just consider, in the core of your heart, is it God's will or is it my will? What's at the core of your heart? I mean, do you walk in pride? Look, you can do good things in life, right? Still be consumed in pride. Like getting good grades. You should get good grades, right? But is it in your will, in your strength, for your glory? Is that what's going on? And listen, I'm telling you this from a man who the majority of the highways he has walked in his life, he built with the bricks of pride, okay? I was really good at this. I built some good highways made out of pride. I'm not proud of that. Strange as that sounds to say, contradictory, but it's the truth. And so what I'm about to tell you, I know from my own life, looking back at my life, how you can tell if you walk in pride. I mean, do you ever get jealous of how high, or not even that, but do you ever get jealous of just the other towers people seem to have going on? The other towers people are building? Because listen, pride at its very nature is really, really competitive. This is why proud people have a hard time getting along with anybody else. People with vices get along. Drunks, drug addicts, immoral people, they tend to get along with each other. There's not a whole lot of pride there, right? But it's when we find pride in other things, it gets very, very competitive, right? And proud people, it's easy to hate others because my pride is always in conflict with someone else's. It doesn't matter how smart I am, as long as I'm smarter than you. Doesn't matter how much money I make, as long as I make much more money than you. Doesn't matter what kind of car I drive, as long as it's better than the car you drive, right? That's what pride looks like, right? And to get at what's going on in your heart, we don't ask how moral we are. We ask these questions. Whose will are we living by? Is it my will or is it God's will? Right? Whose strength do you depend upon each day? Is it God's strength? Is it your strength? Whose glory are you concerned about? Yours or God's? One of the reasons I wanted to show that video this morning, and it gets to think about it, and we'll come back to this at the end, but I'm going to say it now anyway, is, as Bud said, we're all building towers. Towers are being built, some for the glory of God, some for the glory of self. Right? And listen, there are some incredible towers being built around the world right now for the glory of God that we have an opportunity to be a part of. What's going on in Central Asia? Man, what a tower for the glory of God is being built there that we have an opportunity to partner with and be a part of by God's strength for God's glory. In North Africa, in Lawrence, Kansas, in Edwardsville, these things are happening. And I wanted to see that this morning to consider, you know, how do we become a part of that work for God's glory? That's the type of tower we need to be interested in being having built. And what can we do to come alongside it? Not a tower being built in my own strength, for my own name, for my own glory. Take a look at verse 7. Keep going. says, come, let us go down, and there confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech. So overnight, just like that, God creates new language. Can you imagine what it was like the next morning when people woke up? I mean, just think about that. Think about when we dismiss here in 45 minutes. Just kidding. When we're out of here in about 15 or 20 minutes, when the last amen was said, if every person in here spoke a completely different language just like that, how confusing it would be, how difficult it would be. You'd be thinking, what in the world is going on when the sun came up today? And that's what happened. They woke up, and we have all of these different languages. But there's a bigger picture of what's happening, and it's one of the reasons I'm so grateful that Jason put the screen on that he did. God is up to something much, much bigger than just new languages. God understands the potential of us as people who are created in his own image. God looks down and he says, man, there's unbelievable potential in these people that we have created. And we know God has given us amazing liberties through free will to exalt ourselves, to design our own security systems without trusting him. But one of the things going on here is God saying, you know what? There are limits to that. There are limits to what you will do, and there are limits to what you can do. And so, as Jason pointed out, these thousands of languages around the world and these thousands of different people groups are meant to limit the arrogance of mankind. And they do just that. They limit the arrogance that we have as people who are so prone to live according to my will and my way. And the other thing, Jason, I talked about this in the office the other night. Don't miss this. The people groups and the language groups are not like an afterthought. This is not something God says, oh, what are we going to do now? I hadn't thought of this. This is not an afterthought at all. They're the judgment of sin by God, right? Different people groups, different language is the judgment that God places upon sin. And at the same time, God designed different languages and designed different people groups for the glory of Christ. And we cannot miss that. Jesus Christ is so glorified because of the different people groups and the different languages that are there. And going into those groups and sharing the gospel with these groups of people, seeing these people come to faith in Christ. Right, we talk about all the time in Revelation that at the end times, around the throne, there'll be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, all to the glory of Jesus Christ who works within those groups. And so, see this more than just God creating new languages. It's God's judgment on sin, but it's for the glory of Jesus Christ. Take a look at verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they stopped building the city. This verse leads to our last point. Maybe this is where you're at today. Maybe this is the part of the sermon you need to hear. Sin in our life leaves these rotting towers of disappointment. All of us have these half-built towers in our life, and they're there, right? I think it's noteworthy that God does not come down and destroy the tower. I think it's noteworthy that you can still go see this today. And I think God leaves it there for a reason. He leaves it as a message. He's trying to get them to wake up. God's trying to get us to wake up. So maybe the thing we need to ask ourselves is what are the towers that are rotting away in our life? Where have you tasted disappointment in your life? Think about that. A broken relationship, maybe some addiction, some humiliation. But as you think of those, instead of being ridden with guilt and beating yourself up over it, maybe we need to learn that these broken towers are these half-built monuments with a message, and the message is, return to the love of God. Maybe God leaves them there so that we look and see these, right? So that we realize the thing we so desperately are looking for is God. And God reminds us that he is what we need by leaving these towers in our lives. Maybe you need to, as you consider what those are in your life, look at them as God saying, here I am. I really like a guy named Tim Keller. I read a lot of things from Tim Keller. I read something he wrote about this. I liked it. I want to share with you. Tim Keller says that when we actually stop and consider the towers we're building in our life, these towers of disappointment, that when we're truthful with ourselves and recognize them for what they are, we'll have one of four responses, right? He says the first thing we do is we blame the tower, right? We blame the idol. We blame the tower. We oftentimes look and assume, oh, well, I just chose the wrong thing. I'll make a better choice next time, and it will turn out differently, right? And the truth is, young people, I mean, I work with young people. One of the reasons young people run from one destructive relationship to another is that very thing. They keep telling themselves, yeah, I made a mistake there, but that right person, they're just around the corner. And that next relationship, that's what's going to make me complete. We have a tendency to do that, to look at the thing that's a tower of disappointment and say, well, I just chose the wrong thing. Let me choose something different. That's a mistake. Sometimes we blame ourselves. We say, I'm the problem. I just didn't work hard enough, right? If I'll work harder, if I'll pour more into this, it won't end up in disappointment next time. Or we blame other people. It's someone else's fault. Things didn't work out the way they were supposed to work out because it's Joe's fault or it's somebody else's fault, and we blame them. Or according to Keller, we look at them and realize we're created for something much better. Right? We look at these towers in our past and realize we're created for something better. Look, you want to be safe? So do I. You want to belong? So do I. You want to have a home? You want to have beauty? You want to have significance? You want to be connected to greatness? So do I. Well, I'm telling you, all of those things are found in Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 139. Flip over in your Bible to Psalm 139. I want to read this as we close up this morning. We're actually going to read a pretty good chunk of it. So starting in verse 1, the psalmist writes, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high and I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my uniform substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I wanted just to read that so we could spend just a moment thinking about how much and how often God thinks of us. I mean, think back to what we just read. God saw us in the womb. Before mom even knew she was pregnant, God knew you and God had plans for you. Right? God chose every single one of your days and has watched over you in good times and in bad. And not a hair has fallen from our head without God knowing it. He even says when we made our bed in hell, right? When we made our bed in hell, he wouldn't leave us there alone. When we showed absolutely no interest in him at all, he kept thinking of us. Right, from the cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he willingly endured our shame, right, with his pain and punishment on the cross. Thing I wanted us to see in chapter 11, not where languages came from, though that is part of it, is this. You want to be known and you want to be valued, and you want to be approved of, you are. You are. By the God of the universe, You trying to be special to someone? You are to him, which is why he endured what he did. Now, chapter 11, if you flip back there, goes through the descendants of Shem. But what I want us to see as we close is the beginning of verse 12. So we have this scene on the plains of Shinar, right? The judgment against sin because of man's attempt to make his way to God. Man's attempt to get back what he has thrown away. Our attempt, don't miss this, our attempt to get back what we have thrown away. And chapter 12 starts like this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. We just leave this scene in chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, and at the beginning of chapter 12, God begins to build a better tower. Immediately, God says, no, I'm going to build the tower. I heard someone say one time that chapter 11, this is why I ended up choosing, chapter 11 is like a fulcrum point in the Bible. Because in Genesis 11, we have man attempting to build a tower back to God to regain what he's lost. And in chapter 12, we have God starting to build his own tower to come to man. Don't miss what God said to Abraham. Remember what we said at the beginning? Right? The problem is these people saying, I want to do something for my name, by my strength, in my glory. We want a home. We want greatness. We want significance. Look at what God says to Abram. I'll give you a home. The very thing you want, I'll give that to you. He says, I'll give you significance. Do what I want you to do, and I'll make you significant. And most importantly, I'll make your name great. The very thing they're looking for in chapter 11 is the very thing God turns to Abram in chapter 12 and says, okay, I squelched what they're trying to do. Now let me do this same thing for them. I'm the one that can do this. You cannot. So what man could never accomplish in his own strength, God begins to accomplish by his Spirit. So as we close, right, again, two kinds of towers being built. The ones we build ourselves as monuments to ourselves, right? So that we can say, look what I did. Aren't I special? Aren't I going to be remembered, right? We build those towers. Those are inevitably towers of disappointment. The other kind of tower are the ones God's building. The one God uses us to be a part of as he builds for eternal significance. So the question of the day is, which one are you building? You building towers of your own according to your will, or you building God's towers through his strength according to his will? You building for your kingdom, or you living out his message, right? I heard us sing. I remember as we were singing, again, one of the choruses of the song, ask, are you still bearing your sin, or has it been nailed to the cross? That's what we're talking about here today. Right? The story of the Tower of Babel, that's what this is what it's asking you. Right? Are you still bearing your own sin because you live your life according to your will and your way for your greatness and your great name? Or has your sin been nailed to the cross because you're living according to God's will and God's great name for God's great glory? Right? Ask it another way, tie back to last week. Ever since the Garden of Eden, right? Sinful line and a redeemed line, right? A holy line. Which line are you a part of? Are you a son of Adam? Are you a child of the promise? Right? If you're here this morning and you realize that you're a son of Adam, and you realize that because as you look at your life is a reflection of how you want to live whose will is in control of your life, whose glory you're seeking, right? If you're here this morning and you're separated by your sin, right? If, as we talked about at the beginning, you know God as a fatherly figure, but not as a father, today that can change. That can completely change. You can go from sinful line, right, to the holy line by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And maybe you hear that and you think, okay, that sounds great, but I have no idea what that means. I hear this every week. Just put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means. Stop someone. Grab someone by the hand and say, will you please explain to me what this means? And we'll begin those conversations, right, about what it means to put our faith and our trust in Christ. Maybe today you're sitting here and, man, you're just thinking about these towers that have been built or that you're currently building. Maybe today is the day that you get on your knees and you tell God you're sorry, right? Maybe today you look back and you say, God, I am so disappointed that I spent time in my life, as you look back at the city of towers you built at some point, right? So I look back in my life, that's what I see. But you can stand here thanking God that he's left us there for us to remember him so that we learn to trust him more and to do things for his glory. Right? Those things are there, just like the real one's still there for us to look back on and to praise God that he's called us to something different. Maybe today you need to come forward. We've been thrilled the last few weeks to have people come forward and make professions of faith, desiring to follow in baptism. The point of all this is this. This is a time of response. It's not wrap-up time. It's not start thinking about what's on the menu time. It's response time, right? And while I would be the first to admit this is not the only place you can respond, it's a right place to respond, and it's a good place to respond. And so if you have any reason at all today, as I have Jason, these guys come back, right? If you have any reason at all today to come forward, to respond to God, what God is telling you, I pray that you would do that. If you would stand with me, let's pray together. Father, thank you again for loving us, for the very thought that you would create us, knowing before you spoke the first thing into creation, what we were going to do. Jesus, knowing that before you created any of us, you were going to have to die a death in our place on the cross. That amount of love is hard to fathom, to understand. But yet that's how much you love us. Before you created us in our image, you had already resigned yourself to going to the cross to redeem us unto yourselves. We are so grateful for that. God, forgive us when we build towers on a daily basis for our name, for our greatness, for our glory. But God, thank you that when you came down and judged sin, as we saw today, that the very next thing you did, say, I'm going to build a tower, and I will do this. Without that, we would have no hope. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.